Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Send me to Vegas. Free lap dances. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the panicked rookie cop that runs into a bar with a severed leg looking for a bag of ice. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Sir, you got a lot of junk in your trunk. Can I pat you down? People of Walmart, later. Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We took the entire family to the big town festival. One of us had more fun than the other.
It wasn't either of us, honey. It was the kids.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, excuse me. I'm James Parker, the host of Florida Stories. The lawyers asked me to read this statement to you. Florida Stories is for entertainment purposes only. Please do not attempt any of the stories described, especially those associated with bodily harm and breaking the law. James Parker is not a doctor, lawyer, journalist, pharmacist, or anything remotely respectful, much less professional. Please consult waltersterlingshow.com for more information on Florida Stories.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is a three-hour radio show. If your station has committed fraud and said, well, it's only an hour and only two, no, this is a three-hour radio show, and that is why at the end of 3 hours, I am completely exhilarated. There's nothing hard about doing a three-hour radio show. You want to know what's hard? What's hard to do is to work in a bakery at 4 in the morning making amazing treats. That's why Steve and Selena are sharing time on Sterling on Sunday. Steve and Selena, I'm having you on again as the owners and operators of the bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, the JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, because, well, there seem to be some problems. Now, some midnight misfits. Keith Mortensen, who drives, just retired driving an 18-wheeler, and Neil Paul and his beautiful wife, Judy, they actually went to your bakery. And the thing that shocked them, Steve, Selena, is that it was very clear to them, just as casual observers, as midnight misfits to Sterling on Sunday, a giant radio show out of WPHT in Philadelphia, 50,000-watt clear channel station. How is it possible? Well, anyway, they said that it was clear that Selena was in charge. And even though Steve's name apparently is an owner or one of the owners or inherited it for some ungodly reason, like the movie Dynasty, Selena is clearly in charge. Selena, you command respect to the people who work at the JB Bakery. Selena, how do you do that? What do you do? Because millions of people listening now are managers or management positions, and nobody listens to them at all. But in the bakery, Selena, they listen to you.
Hi, Walter. Yeah, it's not easy. I just try to be friendly with everybody and make a list so everyone knows what needs to get done before everyone leaves.
You make a list? You write things down? You write expectations down? Or do you say them clearly and then promise them offers of food?
Well, there's always a to-do list, but yes, yeah, sometimes food is involved. If we get takeout, that's usually a good motivator for the kids.
What would you say is the most popular takeout item for motivating staff at a bakery?
I guess it depends. Sometimes we get French fries from the steak place down the road, or they like Wendy's, too. That always works. Chick-fil-A, too, is a big one.
The chocolate shake at Wendy's, do you get those?
Yes, there's always some kind of chocolate shake involved.
My daughters are obsessed with the chocolate shakes at Wendy's. I'll never understand it, but Wendy's does a very squirrely thing. If you order a small, actually you're getting a medium. if you really want a small, you have to order the kid's size shake. Have you noticed that, Selena?
I have noticed that. I got a small recently, and I was surprised when I got it. It was crazy.
It's insane. It's out of control. Now, Keith Mortensen and Neil Paul both noticed that the donuts and the pastries at JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, are huge. They both commented that these are the biggest donuts that they've ever seen. Steve, do you think you're making an economic mistake by making those donuts that big? Is it really that necessary? Is it eating into your profits?
Hey, I'd have to say, Walter, you know, a big donut holds a lot of toppings, and people want to get all that flavor and that crunch. They want a really good donut, so they got to be big. We cut them big, you know, each one hand by hand.
You cut each of those donuts by hand. Steve was very kind, and Steve was very kind and sent a sampling package to the Sterling household, which we are all grateful for. And I noticed that these were big donuts, and I especially liked the Bavarian cream filled ones, the vanilla cream filled ones. Those were spectacular. I noticed all of these things. And it did bring up the question is, Steve, what is the most popular pastry item at the JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey?
Well, I'd send you some powder cream donuts that were extra stuffed with cream. I probably had to pay extra shipping just to get them out to you. Mm. But that's one of the most popular items. That's probably what your friends got that stopped up. We also have one called a Donoli. It's like this long twisted donut and it's filled with cannoli cream, and it has the cinnamon sugar and it's coated with that. So I can make hundreds of those a week.
Now, Selena, Steve says that your favorite is a chocolate-based pastry. Is that correct?
Of course, anything chocolate is good with me.
Now, why are we hearing that echo again? We discussed that last time. We can't be on a speakerphone here, guys. We can't be on one phone. We need two separate phones that are not on speakers. Can we work that out?
We are on two separate phones. I think we fixed it.
Now you sound perfect. You see, Steve keeps screwing it up, and I know what he's doing. He keeps putting it on speaker so that somebody else in the room can hear it. But I don't care about anybody else in the room. I just want to talk to Selena, because Selena's interesting. I just have to go through Steve to get to Selena, because as a professional broadcaster, I actually know sometimes, you know, 1 out of 10 times what people care about. Selena, I understand that in addition to being a world-class bakery manager, and the only reason the JB Bakery exists, even though it's been there since 1952, the reason it exists is because of your management skills, but you're also going to college, right?
Yes, I am.
And this is are you a freshman? What year are you going into?
No, this is my junior year of college.
And do you feel this has been a worthwhile investment of your time, Selena?
I believe so. I think it'll pay off if I use it correctly.
Do your friends at college know your other life? Do they know your other life working at the JB Bakery? Do they know about that?
I've just started to introduce them to it, and they definitely like the pastries and things that I brought them. So I'm sure they'll be happy to know that I'm still keeping up with that side of my life.
And you're generous with these gifts, these bakery gifts. You're willing to bring them on a regular basis, because once they know you have access to that, there is no stopping.
Oh, yes, of course. Especially now we have all the new fall treats at the bakery. The pumpkin chocolate chip cookies are my favorite. So I had some of those at the apartment the other day to share with my roommates. So they really like that.
Well, Selena, now there is news. I need you to stop and describe the what did you say, pumpkin chip cookies? I need you to describe those cookies from scratch. How big are they? What's on them? Tell me about those cookies.
Yeah, so they're really good. It's a soft cookie. It's a pumpkin-flavored cookie with chocolate chips. It's probably about the size of your hand, so it's a pretty big cookie, and we only have it at the bakery during the fall season. So you should definitely try and go get those before Christmas time.
Well, on the busiest moment at the JB Bakery during the week, the busiest moment during the week. How long's that wait? Is it one of those deals where you have to take a ticket? Do you have that device where you pull out a ticket and you call out the next number? Does it work like that?
No, it's pretty much just a free-for-all. It's whoever comes in first. We're pretty good about getting rid of the lines. I'd say probably the busiest, maybe Sunday morning, afternoon. But, yeah, we're pretty good with the lines. So you shouldn't have to wait too long to get what you want.
That's at the JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Is it appropriate? Now, this is a big controversy that people are starting to tip at Wendy's takeout orders. They're starting to have tips expected at Starbucks. Do you expect tips at the JB Bakery? Are people supposed to give you tips?
It's definitely not expected, but we do appreciate it every now and then.
Well, this has been incredible. One final piece of advice from Selena. New manager, you're a young manager, you're managing a crew. One piece of advice for other managers in the retail industry. One piece of advice for other managers in the retail industry. This will put you ahead of the line in retail management in the entire Northeast.
One piece of advice is to remember that every customer is $1 million. You got to treat everyone, you know, with kindness and just try to help them out.
Wow. Okay. You know what? You're going to get job offers just from that answer. Selena and Steve at the JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Steve, please share with us the exact address of the JB Bakery, because like I said, Keith Mortensen, retired UPS truck driver, visited because of Sterling on Sunday. Neil Paul and his beautiful wife visited because of Sterling on Sunday, plus hundreds of other people who are way too ashamed to admit that they listen to this show. What's the exact address?
Yeah, check us out on jbbakery.com first. Check out the address on there. It's 712 High Street on Burlington, exit 5 off the turnpike for all the truckers. We always welcome them for sure.
Selena, if there are any problems at the bakery, I expect you to call on a Sunday night. I'll put you on the air immediately, and we will resolve any management issues and, more importantly, any problems with Steve. And I thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. You may think to yourself, my friend, did they pay for that? No. I just find it fascinating that in a retail establishment, it is clear that the kid in college is in charge. And the owner's son is really polite and a nice guy, but Selena is really in charge. Good evening. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Well, as always, the big news comes from Canada. Seems the feather is missing in Guelph, Ontario.
It is certainly a significant theft.
The feather was a 9-foot-tall bronze statue. There are no suspects, no clues. Now just a broken pedestal remains.
And will have some impact on the community.
It was located outside of the art gallery. The statue was created by a renowned Canadian artist. Police need your help.
If you see a 9-foot-tall bronze feather somewhere in Guelph, it's the one we're looking for.
To be clear, it's the 9-foot one. But who would do such a thing? Let's see. The statue was located on a college campus. College, students, pranks. Yep, check the dorms. College pranks. Reminds me of the time students walked a cow 5 flights of stairs to the top of the tower where I went to school. Then they couldn't get it to walk back down. That was bad. Alan, First News 98.1. Really bad. KMBZ.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Brittany Snow.
It's hot out there. You must be awful thirsty.
I want to be in the movie.
Daddy catches us. There's no telling what he might do.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the panicked rookie cop that runs into a bar with a severed leg looking for a bag of ice. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Sir, you got a lot of junk in your trunk. Can I pat you down? People of Walmart, later. Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We took the entire family to the big town festival. One of us had more fun than the other.
It wasn't either of us, honey. It was the kids.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, excuse me. This is I'm James Parker, the host of Florida Stories. The lawyers asked me to read this statement to you. Florida Stories is for entertainment purposes only. Please do not attempt any of the stories described, especially those associated with bodily harm and breaking the law. James Parker is not a doctor, lawyer, journalist, pharmacist, or anything remotely respectful, much less professional. Please consult WalterSterlingShow.com for more information on Florida Stories.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Well, Dr. Dave usually shares amazing, accurate weather reports with you and me, but he is observing the holiday tonight, and I hope you have a peaceful, kind, gentle new year. Happy New Year. 37 past the hour with Walter Sterling. Sterling on Sunday. Live radio show. A live radio show on a Sunday night. There are barely any live radio shows at noon on Mondays. But here we are. And at no time have I yelled at any Democrat. How is it possible that this radio station has kept me on for 9 years? Ah, it's Sunday night. Nobody cares. That's how. It's Sunday night. Nobody cares. Oh, my gosh. There's this guy who wanted to get married. He wanted to get engaged to Rachel. He woke up one morning and said, you know, I've got to convince Rachel to get engaged to me. I have to convince Rachel that it's time for us to get married. So what did he do? He did a thing that a guy would do. No woman would do this. He put a big sheet on a roundabout or traffic circle, depending on which part of the country you're in. He put this big sheet out, and it said, will you marry me, Rachel? And he expected her to drive by, get very excited, come running home, hug him, say, it's great, I can't wait to get married to you. And this is the sort of display that a man would do. Forgive me, but a woman would not do this. A woman would not propose to a man on the Jumbotron. She would not do skywriting. She wouldn't get one of those trailers at the end of an airplane. She wouldn't do any of that. But men do these things. Well, Rachel answered. Now imagine if you're Rachel and you hit that traffic circle and you're doing the roundabout and you see this guy who you've been dating, I assume, for a while, because he's asking to marry you. I assume they've been talking to each other about this for a while. She goes by and she sees this big sign that all of her neighbors can see. All of her neighbors can see. The whole town can see. And it says, Rachel, will you marry me? When a man asks that question, he is standing, staring into the abyss. Because one of the gifts of the pill is a man does not have to get married to have sex. He does not have to do 6 months of begging to have sex. He will be having sex thanks to online dating apps probably by the second date. If he's smart, he'll wait for the third, but probably on the second date. He's been with this woman for a couple months. They've been having sex. He doesn't need to get married to have sex. Therefore, he must have a different level of attachment to her, a different level where he believes strongly that his life will be better. But I remember before I asked my wife to get married, I was scared out of my mind because I did think it through. And I'm like, you know, I've been alone for a long time and it's not that bad. And I have cats. I mean, I have cats. What more do I need? But I'd say there were two major reasons that I got engaged. One is that I did not like dating. And I was reaching a point in my life where it was practically tacky for me to be dating. I think after you're 24, 25, you shouldn't be dating and you shouldn't be playing ultimate frisbee and you shouldn't be in bicycle races or marathons. There's an age at which things should just stop. And the only marathon that you should do is watching television in a binge-like manner, watching every episode of Storage War and never admitting it. You don't admit that you watch Storage Wars, do you? But you do. And you're disappointed because it's episode 14, season 14, and you've seen every episode already. And you know what's going on with Brandy. You know that Brandy is grumbling with her husband. You know about all those things. Well, the traffic circle has a big sign that says, Rachel, will you marry me? Everybody in the neighborhood knows about the request. Everybody in the neighborhood knows that, oh, this is so exciting. I can't wait for Rachel to say yes. We can't wait for Rachel to say yes to Joe and say yes that they're going to get married. This will be a social event, a town event. It's like a medium-sized town. Well, Rachel did answer. Rachel did answer. Rachel put up another sign. She put up a sign to Joe. And the sign to Joe says, Joe, no, I won't marry you, Joe, because you slept with my brother. Big sign. No, Joe, I won't marry you. You already slept with my brother.
The CBS Radio Workshop. Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
Is he gonna make me scream? Or I'm gonna make you scream?
I'm gonna scream when I get in here.
Oh my god.
Did you like that one? Hey baby, can I see your car keys?
My car keys, yeah. Where are you going with this?
Someone to drive you crazy.
The CBS Radio Workshop. Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
Now, you know, I know. The volume was too low on that. We can't be that slick. Let's make sure you heard that.
The CBS Radio Workshop. Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
Is he gonna make me scream? Or I'm gonna make you scream?
I'm gonna scream when I get in here.
Oh my god.
You like that one? Hey baby, can I see your car keys?
My car keys, yeah. Where are you going with this?
Someone to drive you crazy.
The CBS Radio Workshop. Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
All right, we're going to have our report from Alaska coming up in just seconds. Good evening. Welcome. What a beautiful night across America. It's one of those magic nights where it's 70 degrees in Maine and 70 degrees in California. And there was a big storm that hit the coast of Maine, Storm Lee. And we have an affiliate there, WLOB, Lobster Radio. And I'm going to try to reach Lobster Radio coming up in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
I'm Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Zahi Hawass.
Don't talk to me.
Good evening. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday. Good evening. Look at you. All right. You and I can stay in touch at all times. Here's my email, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. That's what Karen, the cat's person, uses to stay in touch. Sterling, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Every piece of email that I get gets answered. Thank you for the email. And I've got a spectacular website. And on the website, you will learn how to become a member of the Midnight Misfits fan club. Because finally, introverts like you and me have a place that welcomes us. You don't have to smile. You don't have to shake hands. You don't have to be pretended in somebody's tennis game or golf game or, you know, how their kids are doing at that community college. You don't have to pretend any of that to be a Midnight Misfit. Finally, you can just be. The website is Walter Sterling Show, WalterSterlingShow.com. And you click the Midnight Misfit tab, and there is the Midnight Misfit membership card. That's for you. I love having Keith Fonz on the show because Keith actually lives in North Pole, Alaska. And he is a DoorDash driver in North Pole, Alaska. But the best part is you want to look for Keith on Facebook. It's F-O-N-S, Keith Fonz, F-O-N-S. And if you were to call Central Casting and say, I want a family that looks like they live in Alaska, that's what Keith's family looks like. He's got kids, he has a wife, and he's a DoorDash driver in North Pole, Alaska. And, you know, Keith, you look like a DoorDash driver in North Pole, Alaska.
What is the look of a DoorDasher from Alaska to you?
it looks like it can go either way. It looks like you're going to be my best friend at the bar, or you're going to get out your gun.
Well, then you'd be accurate on that one.
It looks like either way, like, okay, this is my friend until he's not, and if he's not, it isn't like, gee, nice to see you. It's, let me get my gun out of the truck. You have a truck, right?
I do.
Yeah, see, by law, everybody who lives in Texas and Alaska must have a truck, and they talk about it as though it's another child. My truck, well, it was giving me trouble today. Might as well be saying, my son Mark was giving me trouble today. How are your kids, Keith?
Excellent. Actually, they're back to school, and they're liking it, and now I got one kid in elementary, one kid starting middle school, one kid starting high school, so it's a whole new experience trying to multitask and pick up multiple kids that almost right back to back to each other.
What time does each of those schools say they have to be in? Do they stagger that, or is it all the same time? What times do you have to get them there?
Well, in the morning, it's not too bad, because, like, the high school, my daughter, she can get in there about a half an hour before school starts, so I drop her off. Usually about 7 o'clock, her school starts at 7:50, then I run over to the middle school and drop off our middle daughter at about 7:05, and her school starts at 8, because they like to go in early and hang out with their friends, and then little man, Junior, he gets to ride with me for a couple hours in the morning while I work, because he doesn't start school until 9 o'clock in the morning.
And how are they doing? How are they doing?
Well, my high schooler, actually, she's realized that she's in high school now. They're not going to hold her hand, and you have to get so many credits in order to graduate, and they push her, and she's doing really good. She's doing the best since, like, she's doing better than she did in 3 years of middle school. She was slacking a lot in middle school, but now that she's in high school, she sees she has no choice, and it's pushing her. It's good.
Everybody hates middle school. Nobody says, boy, you know, I really liked middle school. No one ever says that. Do any of these schools have indoor swimming pools?
Oh, yeah. Our middle daughter, she's autistic, so she like certain things, and this year she gets to do swimming every day in the big pool, and that is her favorite thing in the world, no matter if it's negative 40 outside or 90 degrees, or she can be in a pool, that's where she loves to live. She wants to be a mermaid.
In your high school, did you have a swimming pool?
We did in our high school, correct.
When I was in high school, the boys could not wear swimsuits. Could you wear swimsuits?
Oh, yeah, you have to. Like, even nowadays, like, in the middle school, like, the kids have to wear swimsuits, whether you're a boy or a girl, you know, you have to take that awkward moment in the locker room and get into your trunks and go out and swim.
Yeah, I don't think you heard what I said. We were not allowed to wear swimsuits. Now, when I tell people this, and this was true across the country in public schools and in YMCAs, boys were not allowed to wear swimsuits. And when I tell people this today, most of them don't believe me, like you're making that up. No, 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 no. In most public schools across the country, if they had a pool, the boys were not allowed to wear swimsuits. And what has made it even more suspicious than your first thought is the fact that the reason that boys were not allowed to wear swimsuits in the school pool is different in every school. Like, you figure if it was truly something that had to happen, everybody would have the same reason. But it's everybody doesn't have the same reason. And girls did have to wear swimsuits. And the excuse in our school system was the filtration systems could not handle all the fabric coming off of swimsuits. I'm like, well, yeah, but girls wear swimsuits and they're much bigger. I hated swimming. And the primary currency I had with my mother all through high school was to get her to write notes saying you don't have to go swimming. My daughter, who's 11, is now in her first school, a middle school, where they have a pool. And she has to go swimming every day, just like your kid. she knows how to swim. She likes to go to the pool, but not that pool. And she doesn't like doing it. And you know what? They're getting no support from me. She doesn't want to go swimming. It's fine with me. Now, what would you do if your kid said, I don't want to go swimming?
Well, the one that's in high school now, all 3 years in middle school, she opted out of swimming. She didn't want to do it, doesn't really like to do it. And here in our school district, if the kid doesn't want to take swimming class, they don't have to. They can take art or they can do another selective.
That's the right answer. Now, I understand right now there's a serious issue in your community, Keith Fons. There's a kid who's missing. Could you quickly tell us about the missing kid and about the efforts being made to find the missing kid?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, a 17-year-old kid in our community went missing, Talon. And about a week ago, unfortunately, they found him. And tomorrow he will be laid to rest. And the community has just been so supportive to this family between going out and searching for this young man. And then after they found him, the community came out. We did a vigil last Saturday. And the community has really come together for this family and tried to make it to where the father doesn't have to worry about any of the stress of having to bury his son. We have tried as a community to fundraise, and he will be put to rest tomorrow, unfortunately, and the community is going to come out and support the family again tomorrow.
Right. So, Keith, in order that we can pray properly, what is the name of the family? What's the name of the kid?
Talon Lewis Ney.
Did they find that he was murdered or he just died?
At the moment, it's still being investigated. The family doesn't know much besides what we know is he ran into the woods and he was found in a body of water and his body went to the state. The state did their autopsy, but the family won't know any details for about 30 to 45 days.
Keith, thank you. And we will all say prayers for that family. I know how supportive you have been to them, and this is why we have a great radio show. I have listeners like you. Thank you so much. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the panicked rookie cop that runs into a bar with a severed leg looking for a bag of ice. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Sir, you got a lot of junk in your trunk. Can I pat you down? People of Walmart, later. Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We took the entire family to the big town festival. One of us had more fun than the other.
It wasn't either of us, honey. It was the kids.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, excuse me. This is I'm James Parker, the host of Florida Stories. The lawyers asked me to read this statement to you. Florida Stories is for entertainment purposes only. Please do not attempt any of the stories described, especially those associated with bodily harm and breaking the law. James Parker is not a doctor, lawyer, journalist, pharmacist, or anything remotely respectful, much less professional. Please consult waltersterlingshow.com for more information on Florida Stories.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Dateline, Clarkston, Washington. The Walmart in that fine metropolis. Local police officer knows a man walking out of the store with an abnormally large bulge in his pants. He got a big bulge! According to documents, officer approached the feller at the store's bike rack. He was detained after a brief attempt to flee on his bicycle. The officer recognized the man, who was 23-year-old Logan Fogelman. The Fogelman! Merchandise worth $151. One could only guess that bulge was caused by DVDs. Perhaps some prophylactics, which would be probably a good idea for young Logan. Logan, by the way, his name is spelled goofy. I know you can name your children anything these days. Apparently, this is his real name, L-O-G-N. Young Logan did not seem to have a real game plan on how to get away with his wonderful prophylactics and DVDs. Lesson for us all. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool for Sterling at Night.
Oh, good evening. I'm Walter Sterling. We don't have weather from Dr. Dave Iser because Dr. Dave is celebrating and observing the holiday tonight.
I'm Jewish. Jewish people pronounce my name Ariel. But my dad is Spanish, and Spanish people say it Ariel. But I grew up in Kentucky. And they say it Earl. So when I was in high school, my parents sat me down and they were like, hey, we know you're going to start dating soon. And we just want to let you know that whatever you're into, boys, girls, anything in between, doesn't matter to us as long as they're Jewish. As long as they're Jewish. We live in Kentucky. The choices are my dad or my brother. That's it.
888-688-WALT. Good evening. Good evening. That was an embarrassing engagement that that Rachel suffered. Her boyfriend put on a traffic circle in their town a big sign that says, Rachel, will you marry me? And Rachel answered with another sign a couple days later in the traffic circle, the roundabout, and it said, no, Joe, I won't marry you. You slept with my brother. Boys, men, propose in the most outrageous ways possible. If it was reversed, if women were the ones who were supposed to give the proposal, it wouldn't go like that. The way I asked my wife to get married, I thought was very romantic. But again, it was also pretty public. We were so lucky. We had taken a trip to the Mediterranean. We had taken a trip to Monaco. Monaco in May. And let me remind you, there are a couple great things about Monaco. It has got to be the richest place in the world. The weather is always perfect. It is beautiful. They have a great opera house, but they have the casino at Monte Carlo. They have the Monte Carlo Casino. And I'll never forget, imagine this, beautiful warm May night, about 78 degrees, looking out the window from our apartment. We rented an apartment before Airbnbs. It was a company called Just France, and they just rented out apartments and homes in France. Looking at this, and I'm looking out over the roof of the casino. I'm looking at the roof. Now, this casino had been on the water, on the Mediterranean, for at least 100 years. It had been in movie after movie after movie, and I'm staring just at the roof. And I'm looking at the detail of the roof, the shingles, the curves, the concrete, the fixtures. And I'm thinking, I am looking at the roof of the casino of Monte Carlo. It's like, whoa. That to me, I don't know why, but that really struck me as being both a remarkable event to be able to have that privilege and incredible loneliness. I felt so lonely when I was looking at that because this was so much bigger than I would ever be. There's a radio station on the south of France called Radio 104. It is the only English language in the Riviera, on the Riviera, Radio 104, which I think is owned by Jack Kelly now. I think he owns it now. And I'm like, that is some deal. To run or own or work at or be a DJ at Riviera 104 in Monaco, that's a deal. That's the deal. Oh, my friend. But boys, men, we propose in wacky ways. The way I proposed to my wife was I had the ring. I brought the ring with me to Monaco. She didn't know I was going to ask her. She suspected. We go to a beautiful dinner in Ez. Ez is one of those medieval towns along the coast of the Mediterranean. Beautiful restaurant, incredible restaurant, out on a ledge, sitting on a table out on a ledge, hanging over the water, and the moon is there, and it's just beautiful. But I didn't ask her then. I had this all planned in my head. I waited till the next day. We go out into the water. We're walking in the water. And she's like, he never wants to go in the water. Why is he going in the water? The Mediterranean is like a lake. There are no waves. It is calm as could be. It is clear as you could ever imagine, like an aquarium. And I pretended to step on something in the water. And I knelt down and I picked it up and I pulled it up. And oh my gosh, look at this. And I handed her the ring. And I knelt and I asked her to marry me. And I got a guy, some French guy on the beach. I said, okay, when you see me kneeling, take a picture. And he did. He took some pictures. I have pictures of that moment, of the moment that I asked her to marry me in the Mediterranean. All very dramatic and memorable and makes for a good story, especially a good story on the radio. But I don't think that's how it should go. In the bid for deserved, obvious, necessary, not an argument, no conversation about it, there are certain traditions that have not evolved with Title I. And one of them is that the man asks the woman to marry her. And the man has to come up with the money for the engagement ring. The man has to initiate. I say that's nonsense. Not only do I think a woman should be able to ask that, and it'd be just fine, but I think a woman should ask the man to marry her. I think she should, because you see, one of the things that you and I know is that the minute you are married, the wife's in charge. And the words joint account take on a whole different meaning. And at some point in the marriage, you, my male friend, are lucky if your wife even lets you see how much money is there, even lets you have any access to the money. The word joint account strikes fear into the hearts of every man as much as a woman saying, you know, after we get married, I want to quit my job and finish my novel. That's the most terrifying thing a guy can hear. Good evening. What do you think? You think, I don't really care what you think. I'm right. It should be that the woman asks the man to marry her. A woman should be the one to ask the man to marry her, or else things go terribly wrong, horribly wrong, like it did for poor Rachel, who got to tell the whole town that her proposed fiancé slept with her brother. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. The best part of the show is when you and I get to talk. You and I get to share, because you become the media. The minute you go on the air with me, you are now the mainstream media. Yes, you become the media the minute you go on my show. Isn't that incredible? Good evening. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. That's my phone number. I look forward to talking with you. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of William Shatner.
Follower bound to a bridge by a fountain where rocking horse people eat marshmallow pies.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowitz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter, on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell the story about the rookie cop that had to handle an unusual car accident. As I've stated many times on this program, when you're a rookie cop, you really don't have a say of who you're working with. And that was especially true in the early 80s. In the Bronx, you had this rookie cop who wanted to do good, and he wound up working with this salty old-timer in the Midnights. And back then, the old-timers would tell you, kid, I'm driving, and don't touch the radio. So the whole night, as this old-time cop is driving 25 miles an hour around the Bronx, the rookie cop is looking to get involved in something. You think we should stop this guy? You think we should do this? And each time, the old-time cop tells him, just sit down, kid, and drink your coffee and relax. Well, that night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, this woman comes out of a bar. She's drunk, and she walks between two vehicles and she gets struck by an oncoming car that comes by doing about 45 miles an hour. The driver stops immediately, but the woman is sent across the street and the accident tears off her clothes. So the panicked driver runs to a payphone. He calls 911. The radio call with the rookie cop and the old timer pull up. And here's this woman, expired or soon to be expired, naked in the middle of the street, and her leg is missing. During the collision, it knocked her leg off. The rookie cop panics, goes into shock, and as the old timer is just trying to tell him, kid, calm down, I got this, as he's calling for an ambulance and the patrol supervisor, the rookie cop picks up, finds the woman's leg across the street, picks it up, and runs back across the street into a bar. There's a bunch of old drunks at the bar. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. The rookie cop runs in with the woman's leg and says, do you have any ice? And everyone in the bar just stops. They think it's a joke. And he goes, I need ice. I need ice. I got to pack this leg in ice. So everyone in the bar is looking at this stunned rookie cop, and someone recognizes a tattoo on the woman's leg as Martha. And he goes, wait, Martha just walked out of here. He goes, you got to put this woman's leg on ice. The bartender complies. He fills up a garbage bag with ice. The rookie cop shoves the leg in the bag of ice, and he goes running out of the bar again. Now, by this time, everybody's looking for him because the old-time cop told the sergeant that the kid took off with a leg. I don't know where he went. The kid shows back up with the leg, and by this time, you got the patrol supervisor, ambulance is there, and they're trying to calm him down. Finally, someone had to slap him in the face and say, just give me this plastic bag with ice and a leg in it. You have to calm down. Eventually, the body went to the morgue. The rookie cop went to the hospital, where I think they gave him a Valium. And after he took a few days off, he was eventually able to resume his NYPD career. But you never know how someone's going to react under crisis. So be sure to check out my new book, NYPD Law and Disorder.
Of course, the real challenge of being married is you have in-laws, and it's something that's never discussed. You never really think it through. If you had thought it through, you would have asked a lot more questions. But it's the one thing that... Listen, I'm trying to find the call screener. Do we have a call there, my friend? 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. I think that women should be the ones who ask a guy to get married. Because the minute that the wedding takes place, the guy isn't in charge of anything. All powers are eliminated. Everything becomes joint. There's no worse word, my friends, for a man than to hear the word joint. Because what that means is that he has no final say. And guys are used to being the ones to have a final say. And that is where the trouble in most marriages happen. It's not for lack of sex. It's not because the guy's out drunk or drugged. It's because of the word joint. That all of a sudden, all the things that a man was absolutely autonomous for, he no longer has any power. All his secret powers disappear. That is where the trouble is. Men do not cheat for sex. Men cheat to be king. Men cheat for a woman to say, you're terrific, you're wonderful, I can't believe the job you do, oh gosh, you look great today. That's why men cheat. For a woman to say those things to them, and if you think that sounds petty and small, you're right. But that is why men cheat. It's not for sex. That's not an issue. The issue is the ego. Oh, you're terrific. Oh, you're fantastic in 10,000 different ways. But then the other issue is the in-laws. And in my marriage, I learned, maybe you've learned this too, that your sister-in-law is in charge of your marriage, completely in charge. If your sister-in-law on either side gets a new coffee table, one of those ones you hate, the glass top ones that always make me feel as though the glass is going to go right through it if I put the glass down, if I don't aim it just right. If I have an astigmatism in my eye, I can't really aim the glass right. And nobody ever discusses this, but nobody likes glass top coffee tables except your sister-in-law. And if your sister-in-law is making 1 cent more than you are, than your family is, she will remind you of this, and she will remind you that you are not providing as well as her husband is. That's the challenge of the sister-in-law. It's a serious problem.
If you have a narcissistic sister-in-law, she's likely to be jealous of you. The green-eyed monster is usually a cause of why she's acting out against you. She will be threatened by the relationship you have with your husband. Since you won't be able to avoid interacting with your sister-in-law, it is important to find the best way to deal with her to keep peace in the family. I would advise you limit contact. If there is a family gathering, avoid being with her alone. You might want to set the dinner table if she's cooking.
Stay out of the kitchen with the sister-in-law. Don't enter into real, don't say things like, where do you think we should go on vacation? Or how did you like the vacation you two had before? My hell is that every year my wife loves the Outer Banks and I don't. I love the Jersey Shore. The Outer Banks are just humid, and once you're there, there's nothing there. Whereas in Jersey, all you have to do is turn around, go back to the road, and whatever you want is there. Real pizza. Really good boardwalk games. The incredible smell. The incredible aroma of popcorn and sea air. Is there any greater aroma than freshly popped popcorn and ocean breeze air? And you only get that at the Jersey Shore. You don't get that at the Outer Banks. Outer Banks, where there's sea oats and humidity. That's nothing. You want something at the Outer Banks, you'll drive 4 days to get it. But my wife and her sister share a house. We share a house with the sister-in-law for a week or two, and I'm supposed to be grateful because it's a mansion. They're able to rent a mansion on the beach because the sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, is loaded. He's freaking loaded. In fact, all of my relatives are loaded. And you know how I know this? None of them offer us financial aid. That's how I know it. I know this because not one of them lifts a finger to say, how can I help you? What can we do to help you? One of the things I've learned about needing help is you will only get it from other people who have needed help. I got to tell you the scam that my sister-in-law pulled. That's in just seconds. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Alice Eve.
Maybe three champagnes in, I was a little emotional and was like, what's going to happen to me? I'm never going to see my mom. We're not going to win the World Cup. I'm never going to be on Love Island.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We took the entire family to the big town festival. One of us had more fun than the other.
It wasn't either of us, honey. It was the kids.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, excuse me. This is I'm James Parker, the host of Florida Stories. The lawyers asked me to read this statement to you. Florida Stories is for entertainment purposes only. Please do not attempt any of the stories described, especially those associated with bodily harm and breaking the law. James Parker is not a doctor, lawyer, journalist, pharmacist, or anything remotely respectful, much less professional. Please consult waltersterlingshow.com for more information on Florida Stories.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
I was sharing with you the horrors of my sister-in-law. And the latest thing that my sister-in-law did that really annoyed me is that my kids want to work in Manhattan. And their friends are there. They were born there. They're native New Yorkers. And my sister-in-law lives in Old Greenwich. And they have a house and they have a barn. Now, to think of a barn, this is not like an Amish barn. This is like a mansion that happens to have been a barn at one time. It has central air conditioning. It's beautiful. It's got great appointments. It's a beautiful, beautiful place to stay. And they said, well, yes, of course, your kids can stay in the barn when they're working in Manhattan. Okay, good. As long as they pay for the electricity. I'm like, what? As long as they pay for the electricity in the separately metered barn. Now, these are people who have an estate. When they cut their grass, eight people show up on rider mowers and do it. They have a pond. They have a pool. Oh, did I mention about the pond needing to be dredged? They're going to pay for the pond to be dredged just like the Curse of Oak Island. Giant movers, giant earth-moving equipment will appear in Greenwich, Connecticut and dredge the pond. Oh, my gosh. So they said, okay, your kids can stay in the barn as long as the kids pay their electric bill. Like, what? The percent of the electric bill against my kids' income versus the percent of the electric bill against the rich guy who owns the place's income, way out of line. That goes on for a couple months. It allows me to work up a resentment and work up a resentment and just to stew on it and think of it. And finally, my daughter says, well, you know, we'd really appreciate staying in your barn, but it's kind of wacky. You want us to pay the electric bill. And my sister-in-law says to her, oh, yeah, we were going to ask you for the electric bill each month that you were here, and then I was going to give it back to you so you see how a savings plan works, so you can see how a savings account would work. You save that, you had that money, you were able to pay a bill with it, you could have saved it, and you would see how a savings account would work. That is the most manipulative and evil thing that I have heard from a relative since right before most of mine died. Oh my gosh, can you imagine that? I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. It's 40 past the hour. I love being with you coast to coast, driving across Route 80, up and down the 4 in Florida, the 5, the 101, and 90, otherwise known as the Luge in February. Welcome. Randy West is a bon vivant. Randy West was an announcer for The Price is Right. Randy West has been the announcer on many shows, and he's an expert on all things Hollywood. Now, Randy is in Los Angeles. He's a member of all performers' unions. All of them are on strike. Randy, what is the status of this strike?
Well, I want to go live in the barn in Greenwich, Connecticut. It's a quick train ride into Manhattan, and I'll gladly double the electric bill because the entire month of electric bill wouldn't cover maybe 2 hours in a motel or a hotel in Manhattan. But be that as it may,
you haven't seen a Con Ed bill.
Because no, I haven't in a long time.
No, we're looking at $800 or $900 a month.
Oh my God! Well, that is a con job. No wonder it's Con Edison.
There you go.
So we're on this left coast here, and people, most America, I should say, is sympathetic with the cause here, because what we're trying to do is maintain a livable wage for two groups of people. One is SAG-AFTRA performers. The other is Writers Guild writers. They happen to be contracts maturing at the same time, and we're both trying to negotiate something that will leave a middle-class income for these jobs, and there are hundreds and thousands of these jobs of people working in motion pictures and television trying to make a middle class living. Now you say, well, wait a minute, if you're on strike, that means you want more money. That's more money. Well, actually not, because both of these unions have taken a hit as far as the income due us since streaming started, because streaming is a big, mysterious little world, and the numbers of viewers are being kept a secret, proprietary information by the studios. So residuals have gone way down. This is a part of the income that actors and writers make. It's part of the package of compensation, and it's gone down because America has moved to streaming. That's fine, but you can't make the numbers a secret and decide what you want to pay.
How do you see this ending, Randy West, in Los Angeles? How do you see this ending? Because I saw the shocking announcement by NBC of their fall primetime schedule. Mm-hmm. And their fall primetime schedule consists entirely of America's Got Talent and America's Got Talent.
And be ready for all sorts of cooking shows and reality shows and game shows. And hey, if you like that stuff, great. but sitcoms and those great dramas we used to watch, ER, you know, all these great shows will never be on broadcast again. First of all, broadcast viewership has gone down of its own accord. Then streaming brought more quality programming. You know, some of those shows on streaming, and we've talked about this before, are $6, $7, $8, $9, $10 million an episode. It's a losing proposition, but they're all trying to plant a flag into the new technology of streaming. It hasn't made money, but they have moved their good programming, the expensive budgets, to streaming, leaving broadcast in the lurch. And now that they've been sitting on their hinies for months of strikes, there will be no fall season. This is the moment where they used to promote, remember, NBC, be there, you know, and CBS, we're all together now. All those great campaigns about the fall. Forget this fall season, which means broadcasting takes another hit in viewership. Who's to blame? Well, the people who make $500 million a year. I'm thinking of the CEO of Warner Brothers, who made $500 million in the last 5 years. It's more than the national debt. You know, it's unbelievable. $500 million for one man. Well, that's what they're interested in, is cornering the market on money and having all the other folks who have worked diligently in an industry that got along for 100 years. 100 years of motion pictures. And the industry has always gotten along knowing that if there's no product, everybody loses. So we've all been able to make, you know, pull together. Now we're facing something new.
Now, Drew Barrymore announced today or yesterday that she was not going to go into production on her show. They had speculated that she was going to go into it, that it was. But here's the fallacy. Randy West, it was as though it was Drew's decision to go back into production. It wasn't Drew's decision. She didn't own the show. Whose decision was it to go back into production?
She says, I wanted to make a decision on my own, and I'm responsible for it. And they did go into production, and they did tape shows. Now she's saying, well, we may or may not tape, but we're not going to air anything until the strikes are over. It's whose decision is it? Well, you know, she's an executive producer on the show. Nobody works alone in any part of the entertainment industry. She had two sets of values in front of her. One is wanting to help the people who work on the show continue to make a living. On the other hand, she wants very much to respect the writers, she says, and the actors, she says. And then on the third hand, you have the syndicator, who has promised 200 television stations they're going to deliver a certain number of episodes every year. So where do you go in the middle of this? It's certainly not an enviable position. The syndicator must have programming. Violating the strike, another issue entirely. Expecting stars to show up and talk about, you know, anything, be guests on their show if their writers are being scabbed. That's another situation. So what did she do? She made a unilateral decision without consulting an attorney, certainly didn't consult a publicist, because she never would have wrote what she wrote on public, you know, on media. And then, of course, she apologized for the first thing, and then she retracted the apology, well, took it off.
Well,
you can't find the apology anymore. And the bottom line is the right answer. She's not going to be presenting any programming during the strike.
Well, Randy West, the thing with Drew Barrymore is she's a nut job. And has proven it over and over again. And anybody who cries on every episode of their own show is must be questioned. Randy West, how do you see all of this ending? What do you see as the future of American television once this strike is over? And when, in your opinion, is the strike going to be over?
Broadcast is decimated. You will never see on television the quality programming that we grew up with and even saw 5 years ago. It's over. It's sort of like, I'm not going to make a comparison to great radio, because the number of great radio stations has diminished. But let's not go to that area, because that's another argument. But the great broadcasting that we knew of television free over the air is no longer. Everything will move to streaming. And when will this strike be settled? Well, at the 12th of never. Because in 4 months now of the writers being out, 4 months, there have been 3 meetings across the table. There was one at the very beginning to explain how good the last offer was, even though it was turned down. Then there was 105 days that went past without anyone talking to anybody. So they finally sat down together, and what was accomplished? Nothing. They tried to bring back the old deal, and maybe a couple little sprinklings of something new, and the Writers Guild said it was ridiculous. Now, there's a third sit-down scheduled for this coming week. In the next few days, there'll be a third sit-down. Will they come armed with, hey, you know what, we need to make a deal, here's what we're ready to give? I don't think that's going to be the case, because it's not the history. Let's move now from the writers to the performers, SAG-AFTRA. They have not sat down with us since the strike started. They have not sat down. When is this going to end? You have to sit down. You have to go face to face. You have to have negotiations. And the studios have decided they want three meetings, the third coming this week with the writers after 4 months. And SAG-AFTRA's been out, I don't know how many days now, but they haven't sat down with us at all and are making no noises that they want to.
Randy West, you're a good friend of Sterling on Sunday. You're a good friend of mine, and thank you very much for this information and the update on the multiple strikes taking place in Hollywood right now. Thank you, sir. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Will Ferrell.
I'm listening to what you're asking me, and if you're not listening to my answers, let's just call it a day.
I have so much to do tonight. We have so much to discuss. But the challenge in the marriage is the sister-in-law. And there's all sorts of advice about how to deal with the sister-in-law. But the fact is that no husband will ever win in the dynamic with the sister-in-law. It won't happen, because those two are bonded. And the only hope you have as a husband with the sister and the sister-in-law, with your wife and her sister, is to somehow get them to hate each other. If you can manage that, that's the key. My mother, a Jersey mother, saw things in absolutes. Either you were a terrific person or she didn't speak to you. That is the Jersey way, as Frankie Valli would say. That is the Jersey way. Either you speak to each other or you don't speak to each other. But today, my wife keeps saying that her sister is her best friend. And I keep thinking back to this concept of best friend. And when we really needed a place to stay, when I really needed to protect my three daughters and my wife, who was having terrible health issues, I needed a place for them to stay when we had been evicted. And at no time did her sister step up and say, you must stay with us, or we'll pay for the hotel, because they could have easily, or we'll pay for the hotel, or you can stay with us. No, no. And the reason we couldn't stay with them, this was years ago, the reason we couldn't stay with them was because you know, my brother-in-law, the husband, kept saying, oh, it's too busy here. You know, it's too busy. I just come home and there's all this busyness, and you know, the youngest one can stay, but the rest of them. I had to get three different places for my kids to sleep until we were able to settle. And my father was no better. My father had a mansion, and we could have easily stayed there, and the kids could have gone to school near him within walking distance to a great school district. No, that didn't happen. And then my sister, really loaded, did not say, let me make sure you have safety and a safe home. Let me make sure that we find you a place to live right away near New York so you'll have no trouble getting work. None of them did a thing. And my brother, same thing. I was blessed with the fact and relieved and happy about the fact that my brother and sister and sister-in-law and all of them make a lot of money. And they should. They're smart, they're bright, they're honest and honorable. But what's the point? If you have a brother who has caused you no harm, if you have a relative who's in need because they have small kids and needs to keep them safe, you don't offer to write a check. You don't offer to take them in. And here's the thing. My brother, my sister-in-law, my sister, all of them had, and my father, all of them had empty mansions. Empty mansions. And could have said, stay in our empty mansion. And none of them did. I will never understand it. And it's one of those few things in life where I am absolutely certain I would not have behaved the same way. I'm absolutely certain, because there have been situations where they've been in a jam. All of those people have been in a jam where I immediately said, well, stay with us. Why can't they stay with us? Never, would never even think of it. Because what is the point of having the extra room, the extra few bucks, if you can't say, stay with us? Those are the magic words. Stay with us. How can we help you? I have never had a relative say to me, how can we help you? And it isn't like, you know, I've been deadbeat for 400 years. It isn't like I was a drug addict. It isn't none of that. I have been a good brother and a good son. I'm damn sure of that. I have failed at many other things. But when it comes to being a brother and a son, front and center, what do you need? How can I help? And if I haven't been, I've never heard otherwise. Many of you have asked, how is my middle daughter, Meredith? Meredith just started her freshman year at SUNY Purchase. She's an artiste, psychology major, God love her, beautiful, sweet. But she had a terrible auto accident in January, just terrible. She was a passenger in an accident caused by a drunk driver. A drunk driver who was so out of it that on the police report said, I was drunk while I was driving. On the police report, I'm saying to my lawyer, why is this a conversation? Can we just have a check, please? Well, my daughter is in physical therapy for her ankle and her knees, and she has chronic pain in her wrist. This is 10 months later, chronic pain in her wrist. And at Christmas break, when she comes home, she's going to have a screw put into her wrist to ease the pain and allow the wrist to heal. And I thank you very much, my Midnight Misfits, for asking me. Thanks. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We took the entire family to the big town festival. One of us had more fun than the other.
It wasn't either of us, honey. It was the kids.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, excuse me. This is I'm James Parker, the host of Florida Stories. The lawyers asked me to read this statement to you. Florida Stories is for entertainment purposes only. Please do not attempt any of the stories described, especially those associated with bodily harm and breaking the law. James Parker is not a doctor, lawyer, journalist, pharmacist, or anything remotely respectful, much less professional. Please consult waltersterlingshow.com for more information on Florida Stories.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Maria Chindamo. Maria Chindamo. She had a very different kind of marriage. For all the trouble that you and I may have in our marriage, this really tops it. You ready? Maria Chindamo vanished from her farm in 2016 after separating from her husband, who then killed himself. The widow of an Italian man linked to the mafia was murdered and fed to the pigs by mobsters after she posted a photograph of herself with her new partner. Maria Chindamo, a mother of three, died because she did not follow a mafia custom requiring women to stay loyal to their husbands even after their deaths. Chindamo vanished from her farm in Calabria in southern Italy in 2016 after separating from her husband, whose husband has been linked by prosecutors to the mob, the most powerful cocaine trafficking mob. And then he took his own life after the separation. Chindamo started a relationship with a police officer and enrolled in a university, but she was fed to the pigs because she broke the rules. In general, I believe that most communities are better served if there is a profound mafia influence, because things work. the nasty services that a lot of companies, a lot of individuals don't want to have anything to do with, the mob takes care of. And this was the Feast of San Gennaro. The Feast of San Gennaro started tonight in Little Italy in New York City. That is a reason to go to New York City right there. First of all, the weather is always perfect. It's the best weather possible. You will never eat better food in your life, and you will never be safer. Those streets are protected like better than an army base. Well, it is an army base in many ways, but the food's spectacular. The weather's great, and you're going to have a good time. The Feast of San Gennaro started in Little Italy tonight. Good evening. Hi, I'm Walter Sterling. And, you know, the rest of the world thinks that you and I are odd. We're introverts. We're midnight misfits. We don't belong. But the rest of the world thinks that we're odd, and there are a number of reasons that they don't think that we're normal. We don't smile much. An extroverted trait. Extroverts smile a lot. Introverts have flat affect and get bored of people easily. We only have a couple of friends, and other people might get suspicious of that because the average person has about 10 to 15 close friends. Do you have 10 to 15 close friends? I've never had 10. All my life, I've had one really close friend and the other one. That's it. One close friend, talk to every day, and the other one. Tragically for me, my best friend from 5 years of age was Dr. Charles Weissman. And Dr. Charles Weissman died. He lived in grew up in Maplewood, New Jersey. Died in Sharon, Massachusetts. And he was a psychiatrist and the father of three beautiful daughters and a good husband. They had a nice marriage, a beautiful home. And the worst part of the tragedy is his mother outlived him. His mother was 102. Ruth Weissman was 102 when she passed away. But Dr. Charles Weissman was my best friend. And he got sick and he died of cancer when he was about 42. So I lost my best friend. But at about the same time, I had developed a profound and terrific friendship with a friend of mine from college, Ed. And we were very close, spoke on the phone regularly. And then about 3 years ago, two, three, 4 years ago, Ed started imagining that I was supportive of a political party and a political candidate and a political ideology that he did not agree with. All my life, I have been aware of, close to, worked with people who may or may not have political ideologies that I agree with or not, but it would never determine whether or not I'm their friend. It would never have anything to do with it as to whether or not I'm their friend. My goal, which, darn it, I'm going to get done, is I'm going to have Robert Kennedy on this show. I'm going to have Robert F. Kennedy on this show, not to discuss political theory with him, but to discuss some facts about winning. And I believe that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. can win the election this time. But they better do some things that are really smart and not the things that all the candidates are doing. I really, you're not going to win based on the Ukrainian war. You're only going to win on the price of gas, believe me. What else? Why do people think you and I are weird? Well, we avoid eye contact with anyone outside of our social circle. This is what they've found about introverts. And some of us introverts have misanthropy. I'm a radio announcer, but I can't say misanthropy. I can't say it. We have outlooks on life. Extroverts do not. We are private people. And those are just some of the things about misfits that are different than extroverts. Extroverts always say something that you and I would never say. Extroverts say, "We like team players." I am repulsed by team players. I have no interest in team players. And the only team player I've ever cared about is Trevor Lawrence. And Trevor disappointed me very much this weekend. The Jacksonville Jaguars, what a loser name. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they lost. No, they didn't win. The Chiefs won. You go check. For the first time in the history of me doing this show for 9 years, my producer's actually speaking in my ear to tell me that the Jacksonville Jaguars won, but they did not win. They lost. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Thousands of people will research this right now. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Conk.
Join me next time when I go back in time again. Not in an exciting way, like in a film. I'm probably just looking at some old pots or something.
There are more ways that extroverts look at you and me and are nervous. We are private people, and that makes people nervous right there. We might only stick to family, like mom, dad, and a dog. And number 9, not paying attention to social cues, like rejecting or accepting someone's behavior, cause sometimes that can be bothersome. And we don't like partying. Oh, my God, I have never liked partying. And as a result, we come off as aloof sometimes. People that have worked together for 25 years are perplexed because when I'm around them, I'm charming and friendly, but I'm rarely ever around them. And I always kindly decline invitations to everything. The greatest thing that can happen to an introvert like me is if there's a change of plans, where we're going to go to a party, a wedding, whatever, and then at the last minute there's a change of plans. There's nothing greater to me than a change of plan that requires me to just sit and do nothing. That's my greatest goal, is the opportunity to sit and do nothing. That's my dream. It's so sad. It's just so sad.
I'm Jewish. Jewish people pronounce my name Ariel. But my dad is Spanish, and Spanish people say it Ariel. But I grew up in Kentucky. And they say it Earl. So when I was in high school, my parents sat me down. And they were like, hey, we know you're going to start dating soon. And we just want to let you know that whatever you're into, boys, girls, anything in between, doesn't matter to us. As long as they're Jewish. As long as they're Jewish. We live in Kentucky. The choices are my dad or my brother. That's it.
Did you hear about this Russell Brand? Did you hear what this Russell Brand guy did? This Russell Brand is this character who was married to Katy Perry.
What are you wearing?
Well, these, my dear, what's known in the trade as robes. I've robed myself up, otherwise I'd be a shimmering in nudity. Imagine that, all completely nude. Awful. It would create an atmosphere, wouldn't it? It would create tension.
We would like to see that.
Thank you. You say that, and perhaps, you know, one day, all being well and good, if the chemistry is correct, then we know.
Several women have accused Russell Brand, the guy with that accent, have accused Russell Brand of acting inappropriately, even violently, overly aggressively, sexually, etc., etc. And one of his production companies, one of the companies that was producing a TV show or a movie with him or something, actually speculated on the need to not have any female employees because of the way he behaved toward women. I actually have known companies that had a star male celebrity, a star male executive, an executive, not a talent, an executive who behaved so inappropriately toward women in the workplace that every woman at that company was a freelancer. There were no employees. Every one of them was a freelancer, so they could not sue the company as an employee. That they were very much at-will workers. And that was the key, at-will workers. And when I dig into whatever the trouble has been with Russell Brand, we learned that Katy knew a secret about him that she never revealed. Well, I'll bet you the secret was that there were women waiting to accuse him of rape and accuse him of sexual aggression that was nowhere near appropriate. And here's the dilemma. Here's the thing. My 3 daughters know that that's not going to happen to them. They know what to do. And they have it programmed in their head that if any man invites them to a hotel room, they don't go there alone. If any man acts inappropriately toward them, that they do not let that sit there. That they challenge it, end it, call the police, whatever they have to do to very much take charge of the situation and extract themselves from that situation, they understand what they have to do. And they have been emboldened to do it. But you see, Russell Brand is a star. And there's always this weird thing with rock stars and sports stars and movie stars that many people who get into their orbit get stupid. That many people get into their orbit just are dumb. They don't extract themselves. They find it very interesting. They hope maybe they can change him. That the power and the glory and the money is attractive enough to put up with whatever, and it's not. And then 5 years later, 10 years later, 25 years later, when they realize they didn't get the prize, they didn't marry the person, they didn't get engaged to the person, they didn't get money from the person, they go, well, wait a minute, that guy was a jerk to me. That guy was a jerk to me 15 years ago. Yeah, well, you knew he was being a jerk at the time. You knew he was being a jerk at the time. But because guys like Russell Brand aren't stopped, the fact that he was terrible to Katy Perry, just horrible, the fact that he was terrible to Katy Perry, it didn't seem to affect his dating life, had no problems getting more dates. There's always two parts to that story. And what's unfortunate is that a lot of very jerky guys were allowed to continue to harm women because they were in a position of power, money, cash, and women accepted it, and they shouldn't have. Believe me, listen to me carefully, no man would be a jerk if he couldn't get laid. That is the only reason that a guy is a jerk, because he can still have sex. As long as he can have sex, he'll keep trying to be a jerk. The other thing you should know is that if a man is a jerk toward women, other men know that, and other men don't like him, especially in a workplace. They'll have nothing to do with him. They don't want to hang out with him. They don't want to be part of his life. They don't find him cool or fascinating. They just think he's a jerk. I promise you that most men who knew Russell Brand, like Rod Stewart, shut him down. Rod Stewart yelled at him, do not act this way, get out of here. And over again, as the stories come out of women saying, you know, Russell was a jerk to me, men are saying Russell was a jerk. And if you ever saw him on TV or in an interview, you'd go, you know, he's a jerk. Tall, long hair, skinny, star, gets away with unbelievable things that he should not get away with, that nobody should get away with. I don't understand why Chris Brown, the man who was married to Whitney Houston, I don't understand how he works. Apparently, he was abusive, physically abusive to Whitney Houston. Physically abusive to Whitney Houston. Well, if you're physically abusive to Whitney Houston, you should not be able to work ever again as long as you live. But there he is, selling out arenas, selling out concert halls, making records. Like, what? How does that work? The result is that now our culture has gone to this other extreme where no man can say anything. And in some ways, you know what, that's good, but it has to come back to a middle, because people are being canceled for just being stupid. All of the things that you and I used to say to each other at a bar after work, when we'd hang out at a bar after work about the boss, the place of employment, the policies, or how attractive a certain woman was at work, all the things that we used to say at a bar after work and then would disappear by the time we got home, would be completely forgotten the next morning. Well, now all of those things count, because we're not at a bar after work. God forbid you have a drink after work. We're on Instagram, and Facebook and TikTok. And we're making videos and we're posting for the world. It seems that only your 9-year-old understands that all those postings are seen around the world immediately. Guy makes a stupid joke on TikTok or on Facebook, stupid joke, or is anti-vax, or is, says something sexist or perceived as sexist. Well, they're fired. I don't believe anybody should be fired for anything if it isn't in their job description. You should only be hired and fired for doing a specific task. If you're doing that task, fine. It doesn't matter what you do the rest of the time. Does not matter what you do the rest of the time. If you broke the law, that's different. But, gee, that's the law. That's settled in court. That's not settled by, oh, my God, I'm so offended by what Frank posted on Facebook. I'm so offended. Oh, my God. Oh, Frank posted that on Facebook? He has to be fired. Facebook. At the Walter Sterling page on Facebook, you will see an amazing fact about my 11-year-old daughter. My 11-year-old daughter has a favorite song. Her favorite song is Real Love by the Beatles. The last song they recorded. Real Love by the Beatles. Written by John Lennon, performed by the other three. That's her favorite song today. She loved the video, and then she said these magic words. Samantha said to me, well, what was their first song? I said, this is their last song. She goes, what was their first song? And I dug it up and I played it for her. What was their second song? And she kept searching till she got to the fifth song, till she could hear the first five songs the Beatles wrote. That's an act from God. The Beatles defy time, space, physics, put on earth at the exact moment that you and I needed the Beatles. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the plane doctor.
You're not supposed to be on your phone. It's bad for the plane.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you a plane doctor? No? So shut the hell up.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We took the entire family to the big town festival. One of us had more fun than the other.
It wasn't either of us, honey. It was the kids.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, excuse me. This is, I'm James Parker, the host of Florida Stories. The lawyers asked me to read this statement to you. Florida Stories is for entertainment purposes only. Please do not attempt any of the stories described, especially those associated with bodily harm and breaking the law. James Parker is not a doctor, lawyer, journalist, pharmacist, or anything remotely respectful, much less professional. Please consult waltersterlingshow.com for more information on Florida Stories.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Dan Gaffney here.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We live in Delaware in a really old house, and we have 8 kids.
Our really old house is on a street where they have lots of town festivals, which my husband loves.
It was the Riverwalk Festival. You're being sarcastic when you say I love it.
Also, they have changed the name. It is now the Freedom Festival. It was the Riverwalk Festival for many years, but now it is the Freedom Festival.
Imagine my surprise when I'm sitting on the couch minding my own business and Becky comes in with the kids dressed. And we're all going to go, apparently, to the festival. I reluctantly went along with you.
I never said you had to go. There are so many of these things that are right on our street. And you are the biggest party pooper in the world. The biggest party pooper when it comes to these things. They're right on the street. They're giving away free things to the kids, free games for the kids to play, fireworks displays for free. All we have to do is walk outside.
When I walk through the festival, people are saying, would you like one of these?
No.
Would you like to try this? Are you interested in...
That's my impression of him the entire time. Would you like a free lollipop for the... No. Would your kids like to... No. The whole time. I stop with one of the kids at the town police booth, and they're giving him stickers and, you know, all of these things. And I can't find you. And I look over, and you're standing for a good 45 minutes next to a Volkswagen camper with all the other kids. Not moving, just standing in the street.
Just waiting for you, honey. We have to move as a group through this festival. Overcrowded, tight lanes, too many people on one side of the street and the other. You can't get through. Very busy.
It really isn't that hard, honey. It's not that complicated. Everyone's stopping. Everyone's doing things. Everyone's getting along, getting their free balloons. And I mean, they were even giving away free lunches out there yesterday. And you walk by, no.
Yeah, that's after we spent $80 in buying lunch at another booth. Had I known there were free hot dogs, I would have saved us $80.
Okay, pause. We didn't even go to another booth. You made us go to a restaurant in the town because we couldn't go have the booth food. You said, let's go inside here and eat, and then proceeded to order like a normal lunch for us. We couldn't even do the booths.
A town festival. A lot of people put a lot of work into it. I'm sure people loved it.
Those people, however, were not you.
Well, hats off to you for stopping and at least letting the kids do things.
Right. It's really not that fun for me either, darling. It's just one of those things that, you know, it's free. Why not do it once every 6 months?
Would you have liked it better if I bought one of those airbrushed T-shirts that said American Mama?
I would have liked it better if you brought a fanny pack to put all the freebies in, but maybe we'll just do that next time.
888-688-WALT. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and you are a Midnight Misfit. There you are, Rebecca K. and Catherine A., two of my favorites. Rosemary Furlong, D. Wells, welcome. Welcome, Midnight Misfits. We are together because this is the only place where we're not odd. We're not unusual. We're not different. This is the only place where we fit in. And my mission in life was to never be called on. My mission in life was to not hear somebody say, well, you know, Sterling, you need to be part of the team. I never want to hear that. Because, you see, the problem with most companies is they are run by extroverts or, worse, ready, the sales guy. The sales guy. The sales guy, hold this thought, did not create or make anything that you're selling. The sales guy usually is about the 20th generation of CEOs, has no idea how the thing was made, the importance of how the thing gets made and distributed, or the relation, the true relationship with the vendors. And yet we're stuck with the sales guy. So what is Katy Perry's big secret about Russell Brand? How pop star said she knew the real truth about her ex-husband, what was keeping it locked in my safe for a rainy day as she maintains her silence in the wake of rape allegations. And this is really annoying. Katy Perry's short-lived marriage to Russell Brand lasted 14 months. Brand has now been accused of rape, sexual assault, and emotional abuse by four women who said the alleged incidents took place at the height of his fame, which, by the way, ended in 2013. He's the father of two, has denied the claims made in the Sunday Times in London, insisting during the time of promiscuity, the relationships I had were absolutely always consensual. And that's the thing. You see, he was really famous and really a big deal and had been married to Katy Perry and may well have appeared to have been consensual to both parties. And then when the dust settled and the pants went back up, women were like, I really wasn't so consensual. I was in a tractor beam of lust because it was Russell Brand. And me just saying that, a white man, me just saying that, all of a sudden I'm in trouble. Just even speculating that anything that was being said or thrown out into the universe about this situation was possibly not true. Here's an amazing statistic, an amazing belief. An amazing statistic, which is that kids who are in families that don't have health insurance do much worse in school. No, really. Coming up in just seconds, this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Liza Schlesinger.
Gentlemen, let's say you get a girl to go home with you, all right? Let's say you get a girl to go back to your apartment by the grace of God.
Sterling on Sunday. Now, 7 good minutes.
Dr. Aditi Malik has become aware of some astonishing research which says that the healthiest kids, the kids that attend school the most, the kids that get the best grades, the kids that actually graduate, are kids that have health insurance. Dr. Malik, why do you think there's this correlation between health insurance and good attendance and good grades?
Having health insurance is critical for children to thrive at school and in life. Children with health insurance are more likely to complete high school and graduate college compared with their peers who don't have access to care. Healthcare coverage for kids really benefits everyone. Studies have shown that children with healthcare coverage are less likely to miss school due to illness, and they're therefore better prepared to learn, meaning fewer missed days for the kids and fewer missed days of work for parents. And those fewer missed days of school for kids allows kids to stay involved.
What reason would a parent not have health insurance when, in fact, there is health insurance that costs nothing? There's Medicaid available. Why would a parent not have any health insurance?
Some people may not know. People may not realize that they have options available to them. For any listeners that are wondering, could this work for my family? Might my family or my children be eligible? I encourage you to visit insurekidsnow.gov or to call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. That's 1-877-543-7669. Version about Medicaid and CHIP programs in your state.
I've heard about Medicaid. I have never heard of CHIP. What is that?
CHIP stands for the Children's Health Insurance Program. Together, Medicaid and CHIP both offer free or low-cost healthcare coverage for eligible children, teens, and adults. The main distinction I would draw is that CHIP, the Children's Health Insurance Program, is only for children, teens, and pregnant individuals, whereas Medicaid is really for adults of a much broader age band.
Dr. Malik, one out of five people you know are on food stamps. Food stamps are hard to get. Here's tons of stuff. You can't buy cigarettes. You can't buy baby bottles with food stamps. You can't buy baby bottle nipples. You can't buy diapers with food stamps. You can buy formula, but they're hard to get. Medicaid, Dr. Malik, is harder to get. Medicaid is incredibly difficult to get. Have you seen in the past few years that it has gotten simpler? Do you know a shortcut?
Medicaid and CHIP are really designed to be sources of healthcare coverage for people with low and moderate incomes. And I think tremendous strides have been made in the last several years to help folks get enrolled in the program and for eligible people to stay enrolled in the program. Eligibility varies by state. It generally depends on how many people are in the household and family income. In most states, children up to age 19 with family income up to $60,000 a year for a family of four can qualify for Medicaid. And in terms of how can people enroll, I will say you can apply online, over the phone, by mail, or in person. There is no special enrollment period. You could apply today and any other day of the year. I mentioned the visit insurekidsnow.gov website and that phone number again of 1-877-KIDS-NOW or 1-877-543-7669. The process to apply for this free or low-cost coverage has gotten faster. Many can apply and find out if they qualify the very same day.
Just so you know, the beauty of Medicaid is once you get Medicaid, you pay for nothing. There are no deductibles. There's nothing. It is the greatest effort a family in need could ever possibly make. Now, the other part of Medicaid is that not every doctor accepts it, but that is embroiled in myth, Dr. Malik, because the perception is that the doctor doesn't accept it because the doctor doesn't want it or doesn't want to accept it or doesn't want those patients. But in fact, doctors want to be able to take Medicaid because the pay is quick, but Medicaid doesn't award it to every doctor. Do you know anything about that process?
A couple clarifications I would make just on the no out-of-pocket costs. You're right that the vast majority of families will have little to no out-of-pocket costs. Now, there are some services that will have a low cost associated with it, and that will depend, that will vary within a state by plan. But I do just want to clarify, this is free or low cost. And now to your second question about provider networks. So each individual state can enroll Medicaid providers. And there is by law, the law that sort of created and authorizes ongoing functions in the Medicaid program talks about the idea individuals enrolled in the program having access to a broad array of providers. So states make every effort they can to enroll a broad swath of providers so that people enrolled in the program can access the needed care that they signed up for. And I'll just take a moment to mention that Medicaid covers really quite a broad array of services, including well child visits, other doctor's visits, routine vaccinations, dental care, mental and behavioral health services, eye exams, and other care that children and teens need to thrive.
Dr. Malik just said something really important. She said that Medicaid covers the hardest to get insurance imaginable, which is dental. Therefore, the toughest insurance, which is dental, and then psychiatric, can be covered with Medicaid. It's a remarkable service. It is worth the trouble to get. Dr. Malik, give that phone number again.
Absolutely. That number is 1-877-KIDS-NOW or 1-877-543-7669 or visit insurekidsnow.gov. That's insure with an I.
Thank you, Dr. Malik. Thanks for being on Sterling on Sunday.
Thanks so much for having me.
Pre-recorded in partnership with Kids Now. I'm Walter M. Sterling. It's 54 past the hour. Look at this. You and I are driving across the country. This is the best time of day to be on the radio. It's the only time of day to be on the radio because it's the only time when you and I have time for each other. And we should stay in touch all week. I have a great Facebook page where I put up things that I can never, ever put up on the radio. Walter Sterling, S-T-E-R-L-I-N-G, and an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. Now, I've had trouble with my podcast, which is called Midnight Misfits. There are over 200 episodes of the podcast available to you at Apple iTunes or wherever you get your fine quality podcast. But I've had the darndest trouble uploading podcasts that I've made and I'm waiting to upload. And oh my gosh, hopefully this week you will be patient and you will try to download the podcast again. Because unlike every other clown, my podcasts are no more than 10 minutes. And they are not just re-edits of this show. I don't take this show and edit it and call it a podcast. That's cheating and it's stupid because what I can say on the radio is very different than what I could say on a podcast. Plus, this is live and urgent and a podcast. It can be thoughtful and thought out very carefully and slowly like public radio. Have you heard the public radio imitation in a while? I don't think so. And now we consider our correspondent in Bosnia with this exclusive report about Bosnians. Oh, God, I don't know. I don't know how it exists. How does it exist? And do you know the public radio that NPR has the largest programming and news budget of any radio company in America? It's crazy how much money they have. And I'll tell you a secret about public radio, about NPR. If you go to NPR and walk around with your iPhone, they won't let you take a picture. And the reason they won't let you take a picture is they don't want anyone to see how elaborate and expensive the equipment that they have is. They don't want anyone to see. The great thing about the radio stations you listen to as a normal person, they're all dumps. My laundry, I do this show live from my laundry room. Yes, that lady in Delaware listening to Delaware 105.9. Yes, really, I do it from my laundry room. It's a dump. It's not a beautiful laundry room. It's not an elegant laundry. It's not a Priscilla laundry room. It's very much a Tide laundry room. But public radio, oh my gosh. Then I've had this thought. Let me know what you think of this. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Let me know what you think of this. I thought, well, I'm only with you Sundays. I'd like to be with you during the week. What if we had lunch? What if we had a Zoom call every Wednesday and we had lunch? Like if I booked it at 1 o'clock East Coast, 10 o'clock West Coast, we could have lunch on a Zoom call. Let me know what you think of that. The greatest gift you and I can receive, my friend, is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.